Blog Talk Radio.
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and He showed me I was wrong, and He placed me on the winning side.
Well, I'm
on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in Him so often I confide.
Well, He's the keeper of my soul since I gave Him full control,
and He placed me on the winning side.
Well, I'm on the winning side.
Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to A Voice in the Wilderness. As always, this is your host, Dakota, and this is the show where we talk about end times, Bible prophecy, current events, and how it relates to you, what you need to do to get prepared for it, both physically and spiritually. And we really talk about a lot of other topics on this show as well. Really anything that is important pertaining to the Bible or Bible prophecy, and all of these types of things, because these are the days that we live in. This is the stuff we got to prepare ourselves for. And, I was just listening to somebody today talk about how it says in the book of Revelation that whoever reads the words of the prophecy of this book shall be blessed. And, he was explaining how that, what that blessing is. And I've really never heard anybody explain in a satisfactory or a way that really made sense to me what that blessing is for those that read the book of Revelation. And he explained how those that don't read it, and that those that don't understand it, that don't understand what is coming upon the earth, that don't understand the times we live in, they're going to be really scared, really freaked out, really caught off guard, very unprepared physically and spiritually. And he explained how the blessing that we get from reading the book of Revelation is that we will understand the times. We won't be scared. We won't be caught off guard. And we will be prepared. And so I really believe that that is the true meaning of what it means to be blessed from reading the book of Revelation. And I just praise God for that that revelation, because, I've never heard anybody explain that in a way that made sense. You know, they just say, oh, well, you're going to be blessed from reading this. But how does it bless you? And so that makes a lot of sense. How's it going, Dad?
Oh, it's going good.
Good. What do you think about that, what I just said? Did you hear what I said about being blessed from reading the book of Revelation?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's Revelation is a revealing of those things that will come to be, and it stands to reason that if you understand that, I don't know. I was trying to reconcile, would I, even with the understanding of it, would I be scared? I think that there's a certain element of our flesh that would certainly be startled, and even knowing that it's coming, it's going to take you off your A game. But still, that's okay, and we have the ability to deal with these things as are able to reconcile that we know that they're coming, and so it those that are caught off guard are going to be worse than scared. Their hearts are going to fail them. So the blessing is that you would be able to endure.
Yeah, amen. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, you know, blessed is he that endures to the end. I misquoted that. The words he said exactly were, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so we can apply that both physically and spiritually. You know, many, many preachers use that verse in a spiritual sense that, you know, your salvation isn't complete until you've endured to the end of your life and you've overcome, and you fought the good fight, and you're still found faithful even at the end of your life, and you haven't denied the faith or fallen away. And I really believe that that is true as well. But then we also see the physical meaning of what Jesus said, and that is that the rapture does not come until the end of the tribulation. And we could, you know, we have a whole another show you can listen to about that. If you look in the archives and go back, I think it was like the second or third show that I did. Just go way back and you'll find it. It's called the Pre-Tribulation Rapture Delusion. But anyways, my point is that Matthew 24, verse 37, it says that, and then at the end of the tribulation, or after the tribulation, it says, shall the Son of Man return. And so we know that the rapture takes place at the end of the tribulation, and so nobody gets out alive from the tribulation or from the end times unless you survive all the way through to the end. And I also believe that there is a 3.5-year tribulation, not a 7-year tribulation. Perhaps I could do a show on that sometime. But my point is that nobody gets out alive in the tribulation unless you endure to the end. And if you die during the tribulation, then you, of course, it also applies because you have to endure to the end of your life. And you have to stay faithful and not deny your faith, not take the mark of the beast. And so that's really important.
In your patience possess ye your salvation.
Yes, exactly. Because many people will get impatient and they'll give up. They'll give in to temptation.
Take the mark.
And they'll take the mark. They'll be like, well, you know what? I don't feel like starving to death, so I'm just going to go to the FEMA camp and take the mark and get some free food, and things will be good. But no, it's better to suffer for Christ, even die as a martyr for Christ, get your head chopped off, than it is to give in and lose your faith and lose your soul. You know, Jesus said that don't fear him who can kill the body, but after that there's nothing more he can do, but fear God who can destroy both your body and your soul in hell. And so that is the only person we should fear, is to fear God. We should tremble at his word and his commandments, and we should be very afraid when we sin and we don't obey God. And so it's important stuff, important stuff. But moving on to the news, we have Turkey just announced that they want to form a 5-million-man Islamic army by forming an alliance with all of the world's Islamic nations, which is 57 different nations, and they want to use this alliance to attack Israel. And also, Turkey just took over the entire town of Afrin in northern Syria. And so it appears as if they're trying to move their way toward Jerusalem. And then at the same time, we have 5 Russian warships in the Mediterranean headed to Syria, as well as Russian submarines and bomber planes. And they're getting into battle positions and for the possibility of a U.S. attack against Syrian forces. And Russia is definitely holding a grudge because of, the U.S. Going into Turkey, arming jihadists, arming ISIS, which are fighting against Syrian forces. And as we've explained before on the show, the biggest reason behind the Syrian war, although it's very, very complicated, is because the U.S. wants to, and Europe wants to, build a natural gas pipeline from Qatar through the Middle East, through Syria, and into Eastern Europe, in order to screw over Russia and make it so that they won't be able to sell natural gas, import natural gas to Europe anymore, to totally screw them over, because Russia is the key player, the key nation that is rebelling against the New World Order, this Western globalist Illuminati New World Order cabal. And so that's what that's all about. And Russia is obviously still ticked off from Turkey shooting down, or was it Turkey or Syria that shot down their that helicopter?
I think it was Syria.
Yeah, it was Syria. And so with all this stuff going on, man, I mean, it does not look very good.
Yeah, you just have to realize that God is the restrictor, and without mm-hmm. him holding these things back, things would have already been over. The game would have already been over. So you know, us having our faith in the Lord, we can sleep easy at night knowing that he's in charge and he is the restrictor. However, I must say that you're entirely on point with the escalation, and it seems really obvious to me, though things are very complicated, as you mentioned. I mean, even China is in Syria. I mean, it appears that the hook is in the jaw. I mean, all these nations are in Syria. I mean, you can't look at this and not see the Psalms 81 war, you know, soon coming. There is a lot of nations rising up against Israel, and this is when the Lord puts his foot down and says, you know, I'm going to defend Israel. And these people are going to lose. They're going to lose big time. And then I think you will see kind of the beginning of the tribulation myself. So, you know, which falls in line with kind of the timeline that I personally believe, which is, you know, we really have either 4 or 7 years left with Trump, which is, you know, he's carrying out, whether you want to believe it or not, he's carrying out the Lord's mission, if you will, of nothing hidden in darkness that won't be revealed. I mean, Trump himself says that we have this shadow government in the highest places, in DOJ, FBI, CIA, and he's exposing them. Whether you agree with the man or not, the Lord's will be done. He chooses the kings. And now why would the Lord choose Trump after having Obama in power if it wasn't for the revelation of all of these things done in darkness? We see prophecy just happening at a breakneck speed now at this point.
Yep. We got our buddy just called in. I'm gonna get him on the line. Hey, what's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going good.
Good.
We're just talking about Turkey just announced that they're going to try to form a 5-million-man Islamic army with all of the Islamic nations of the world.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Yeah. And Russia just sent 5 warships into the Mediterranean to go to Syria.
So it looks like there might be some conflict arising between Syria and Turkey.
Yeah, and Turkey just took control of the Syrian town Afrin, where they just killed a whole bunch of Kurdish Christians.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's pretty telling times. I wonder how much. I mean, I know that probably is listed in the news as Turkish. I'm pretty sure that Turkey's just overrun by ISIS at this point. So this is really an interesting development.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, prophecy is happening. These armies forming around Israel, for sure.
Yeah, has I haven't seen the headlines, but has Trump made any formal statement about it?
Well, it's really concerning because, you know, lately Trump has announced that the shadow government or the corruption is in the highest forms of government, in the, you know, the CIA, the DOJ, and the FBI, the CIA. You know, and he was a defender for the Kurds, which are mostly Christians in Syria, and he was telling Turkey that you're not going to go in there and just lay waste to the rest of the last of the Christians. And then when his advisor returned from Syria, Turkey rather, that it seemed as if we weren't going to make a stand like originally we were. So I'm not sure exactly why that has changed.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, as much as I support Trump, he didn't get us out of Afghanistan like he promised in his campaign. And I really thought that was a major downer on his character. But that aside, maybe there were some strategic reasons for it. you know, this being one of them, that he does kind of want to mitigate the power vacuum over there. I mean, maybe not with Iraq and Afghanistan, but maybe with ISIS and Turkey. You know, maybe there's a part of the Pentagon intelligence that saw this coming, and they warned Trump not to pull our troops out.
Yeah, I agree with that. To a certain level, for sure. But you know, the problem that I have is that it's pretty well known that Obama used our tax dollars to fund ISIS. Now, everybody else in the world knew that we were funding ISIS and arming them, and you know, definitely militarizing them to lay waste to Christian populations and that. So I know that one thing was pretty obvious, that ISIS and the numbers of ISIS were radically reduced when Trump came into office, giving the actual go-ahead to our military to take them out. But, yeah, there certainly seems to be, you know, Trump, even with his best intentions, it still seems as if the shadow government has the final say on a lot of things.
Well, they definitely are a force to be reckoned with. I think Trump's realizing that, and I think he's taking a much more. I think he's grasping the complexity of the situation, and he's probably holding his cards pretty close to his chest, which is probably a smart move. You know, I mean, this is an integrated infestation of evil into our. Into our government. It's not just going to be a Band-Aid issue. You know, he might do his real heavy cleaning, you know, on his second term. Who knows? I mean, hopefully he gets a second term. But maybe he's waiting for the leftist media to just kind of burn themselves out. I mean, it's been almost a year and a half, and they're finally getting the picture that nobody cares about their stories anymore, which is good news. I mean, it's good news for Trump. He's kind of waiting out that fire. But I think the headline I saw the other day was that the a firm that was connected with Trump had Russian some loose Russian affiliations. Like, even just, I mean, headline politics and headline news is bad enough, but I mean, the theories that they're having to stretch out to validate their claims are so thin that it's just almost embarrassing, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
So I really hope that the American people start waking up to these realities, that it's a known system, and that you can't, if you really want to figure out what's going on in the world, you have to use the internet and start digging, because the TV is not going to tell you anything.
Very true.
Yeah, and what you were saying about Trump draining the swamp, Alex Jones is saying right now that the firing of FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe is the beginning of the political avalanche that's about to come down on Hillary Clinton for her campaign's role in the FISA abuses that took place in the Justice Department. So I can't say 100% if that analysis is correct, but that could be true, that he's just one step closer to completely coming down on these swamp monsters. And I definitely think that this whole time he's had to be very strategic and, like you said, hold his cards close to his chest and kind of try to pick away at the swamp one step at a time so that the swamp doesn't totally eat him.
Yeah, I mean,
Go ahead, Rick.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say it's interesting, because he let that guy go just a few days before he was able to retire and draw a pension. And so, you know, that's a pretty clear message to those that are in this shadow government that he means business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see the McCabe and Comey connections, that maybe the whole Russian probe, you know, we like to blame FBI Director Comey, that you know, that he was even going after the president. But it, I mean, it's nice to see that there are consequences, you know, even if maybe the deputy director was the one in charge.
Amen.
And the one, I agree. The one that instigated the investigation, that these false allegations don't go unrecognized, you know. That I would just say amen to that, man. That there are consequences for speaking lies, you know, especially when you're in positions of authority.
Amen. Amen. Dakota, where are you?
I was just waiting for somebody else to say something.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say a second. We've talked about this before on the show, but if you study Ezekiel 37:38. And also Psalm 83, it's pretty clear that Psalm 83 is going to happen before Ezekiel 38. We'd understand that Ezekiel 38 takes place before the second coming of Christ, or right at the end of the tribulation. Some say that it happens kind of continually throughout the tribulation. And Psalm 83 is where a confederation of Islamic nations come against Israel, and it says that they come against the walled villages, Ezekiel 38 says that they come against unwalled villages. So we know that Psalm 83 happens as a separate event before Ezekiel 38, because right now in Israel, they have a bunch of walled villages. And so this, what's happened right now with this Islamic confederation that's going on, this could be the beginning of Psalm 83.
Yeah, there's no doubt that it could be. You know, I go back to God being the restrictor. So, you know, our confidence, I'm saying this, I'm preaching to myself as I say this, but our confidence is in Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. So, you know, anyone that's out there listening to this that has a grasp geopolitically of these events that are happening and are beginning to see, if they read the Bible at all, that these things tie to prophecy foretold thousands of years ago, you know, it's time to go all in and repent and get right with the Lord, because you're going to want to have that security going into these events, folks. This isn't something that you're going to want to do on your own strategies. It's not something that you're going to want to go into without being on being in the Lord's army. You know, so you're either this is one of those cases where you're either with him or you're against him.
Amen. And just to tell you a little bit about Psalm 83 without reading the whole thing. In Psalm 83, if you do the word study for the different places or people that attack Israel, and you translate it into the modern names, you have the country of Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the Gaza Strip, Lebanon, and Syria, all attacking Israel in this prophecy. And obviously, the prophecy tells us that God will defeat them and Israel will be victorious. And then the last verse says, or the last two verses, it says, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. So this battle is going to, Israel is going to be up against such astronomical odds that when they win, nobody will be able to deny that it was because God helped them.
Amen. Amen. We saw that same thing happen in the Six-Day War, and
and many other times in history where it just wasn't by chance or accident that they were victorious over insurmountable odds.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Israel, once it became a nation again, it was huge. I mean, it's in business now, and it's not going out of business until God says so. Well, at least until Messiah comes. It will no longer
Amen.
Cease to be a nation, no matter how much the world may want it.
That's right. That's Amen. Right.
Amen.
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about during this time of the Passover too. It's I guess this would be we have what one more you guys would have one more episode before Passover, but it's definitely a time to be thinking about Israel and all the things that they've gone through as a nation.
Yeah, for sure. They always get attacked. They usually get attacked on the day of atonement, Yom Kippur, because that's when nobody is working and everyone is fasting. But I have to look into it. I'm not sure. I would think that people must not work on Passover either, or at least. The day after Passover, just like all the other holidays, they have a high Sabbath, so they take a Sabbath day right after the Passover. So, yeah, definitely they could get attacked on one of the holidays.
Well, from what I'm understanding, I was looking at Paul Bagley, and I didn't get a chance to open up the article, but it looks as if Israel is already under attack. If you look, the jihadists are, I can't remember if they called it 100 days of rage or whatever, and they basically that kicked into motion really right along the timeline of when Trump decided to stand for Israel as a nation state, you know, as a capital, and so I guess there's just a huge uprising of stabbings and riots, and we'll have to look more into that, but it looks like that's escalating, so kind of falls right in line with what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's...
Go ahead,
Dakota.
I was just going to say another thing I wanted to talk about is in Revelation chapter 2, it says that the seat of Satan is in Pergamum, and Pergamum is in Turkey. And so this Islamic alliance, this jihadist army being formed with Turkey as the leader of it and Erdogan as the leader, it's definitely no coincidence that in Turkey we have the seat of Satan. And we know that Obama went and spoke in Berlin one time, and the altar of Zeus that used to be in Pergamum was moved to Berlin, and he spoke in front of it. And it was the same place where Hitler gave a speech. I forget, maybe that the one in Berlin was a duplicate of the one in Turkey. But anyways, it's definitely no coincidence that that's the seat of Satan.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing times.
Hey, Dad, can't hear anything you're saying.
Thanks, I got it, thanks. Hey, Eric, I was just kind of curious what the Lord's put on your heart for
tonight. Sorry about that. I go from mute and unmute. So, yeah, just kind of curious what you'd have for the listening audience tonight that God's been talking to you about.
Let's see. So, well, this kind of plays into it. I was in Psalm 66 this week. So, Psalm 66, verse 10, if I can quote it from memory, says that he has refined us. I'll paraphrase. Basically, it says he's refined us as silver and as a precious metal. I guess that kind of hit home for me because it reminded me of the Babylon statue in Nebuchadnezzar's statue with Daniel, and how the mm-hmm. you know, you had the precious metals at the top, the head, and then the torso of silver, and then the legs. I believe the legs were iron, and then the feet of iron and clay mixed together.
Right.
And so we from past conversations we can all kind of gather that this last nation or this last New World Order system will it'll be a mix of, you know, we're not quite sure of what it looks like, but we know that part of it's going to be non-human. If you follow the Genesis 6 narrative and if you correlate that back to like the reason behind the flood and the reason behind Sodom and Gomorrah. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the iron and the clay mixed together. And there's a process in metallurgy where you can mix metals together to make them stronger. And what you'll typically do is you'll mix like a silver with a steel or an iron, and it'll I think it's ionizing, and it will strengthen it, but it'll also devalue it at the same time. And so I was thinking about that, how often that normal, like we as believers live in this Roman or American system, and we often do things that are Roman in nature and practice, and we think that they make us upstanding citizens, and we think they make us strong. But it's that same idea where you're mixing these Roman ideas with a Jewish idea, or the way a believer should walk before the Lord, and it really devalues the individual, the person as an individual. But it makes it. It seems to make it strong at the same time, but what God requires of us is that we be pure and we be precious, not because of our strength in our own mind, but more of our purity as a precious metal. And so I was thinking about that principle versus like in the end times when there's this new world system, it's going to look very strong. It's going to look very, you know, it's going to have a mix of angelic, possibly angelic DNA or technology, Nephilim type of, you know, it's definitely going to be satanic in its beliefs, but there could even be genetic manipulation. And so it's going to look really fancy and intense and strong, but the value, we should hold on to our value as pure and righteous human beings before God, because that's what's going to help us out. That's what's going to be our defense in those last days. So.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I agree.
Amen. And just to back that up, I went to Daniel 2:43, the verse you're talking about. It says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." So we know that the fifth kingdom after the prophecy of Babylon, Persia, Greece and Rome, and then the revived Roman Empire, which is the European Union, and like you said, the Nephilim will come back, or the fallen angels, and there will be this hybrid age. It, like the Bible says in Matthew 24, you know, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And, you know, most people only, since they don't understand Genesis 6, they don't understand the sons of God were the fallen angels. They had sex with women and created giants. They think that the days of Noah is only talking about how their thoughts were only evil continually, and there was violence on the earth in those days, and they were eating and drinking and all this stuff. But they missed the whole point, that this this watcher or fallen angel technology and philosophy and everything is going to come back and corrupt man's DNA, and we're seeing this transhumanism coming to the forefront more and more. Most people still don't know about it. When you try to tell them that there's human-animal hybrids out there in government labs, they think you're absolutely nuts. But, now there's you can go online and buy a kit for biohacking and change your DNA in your own garage to make you stronger, or, change your DNA in different ways. I don't know what other ways people change their DNA, but I know that people have used it to increase their muscle strength. So it's just crazy. So crazy.
I want to add my two cents to this. It says, as the days of Noah, so shall it be again. There's nothing new under the sun. I've had conversations with guys. The older generation is the hardest one to talk to about these things, because they don't want to understand it, I think, mostly. But when you could take them to technology that's been discovered at, say, 60 BC, and basically it's technology similar to that of a computer, with technology, with moving parts that wasn't supposed to be around till thousands of years later, we have to understand that, yes, this technology was passed on. You can look at ancient cultures that were very peaceful cultures, and then all of a sudden in their timeline, they are into blood sacrificing. Now, here's my point. What I'm saying is that these entities are flesh-eating, blood-consuming entities, and this is why, even in our current timeline, why you see the cutoff of funds is non-existent to Planned Parenthood. The blood must flow. These entities, and we're seeing the conversations more and more ramped up in the mainstream media about eating flesh, which is just, it's very uncomfortable for me to talk about. It's very upsetting, but we have to realize that when we're coming into the midst of a culture that is now trying to normalize things that 10 years ago nobody would dare talk about, and they're trying to make these things normal, we have to understand that we're entering into that time, especially a time where there's conversation about eating human flesh. So not to try to, bear down on that one subject, but that's the time we're living in. These entities, we have to understand the Bible, again, was 100% accurate when it said that our battle wasn't with flesh and blood, but the powers and principalities of the air, these fallen ones, if you will. So, yes, Eric, you're 100% right, and Dakota, you're 100% right on this. And God also gives us revelation for understanding of what's going to come upon the earth, so that we can be prepared for it. And we must be praying. Praying is really the shield that's talked about. Our faith in a loving God. That, but what I'll say this, and then I'll be done. What I'm seeing is our requirement, and thank God for an old country preacher and just different God's revelation, that we have a responsibility, folks. It's not just walking around saying, you know, forgive me, God, for my sins, but we must be petitioning the Lord, and we must be seeking a relationship with a living God and the Holy Spirit so that we can claim these promises. You just cannot go and be out in the world being part of sinful things and expect to claim Psalms 91. That's all I got to say.
Amen. And just to back up what you just said, 1 John 3:20-21, it says pretty much exactly what you were just describing. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But then it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so part of getting your prayers answered is how much obedience do you walk in your life as a Christian? And people that are hypocrites, that aren't right with God, are not going to get their prayers answered.
Amen.
Yeah, it's true, man. Strong are the promises of God.
Amen.
Well, take us where you want to take us, Eric. I want to hear from you again. And by the way, God's put it on my heart. He prompted me to tell you this earlier today, and I never said it. I hate it when I don't listen to the Holy Spirit. But then what he'll do is he'll just keep convicting me. And sometimes, you know, things are hard to say to one another. But I just wanted to really tell you, man, that we love you. And we're really glad that we get to go to church with you. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we're going to do together in the future, both for the kingdom of the Lord, but also just, you know, keeping each other strong. You know, I've always felt that. So. Anyways, I was just supposed to tell you today that we love you, and I know that's hard to say to your friends sometimes, you know, but time is short, and so we got to say what the Lord puts on our heart, man. So just had to tell you
that. That's true, man. Yeah, thank you for that. That's a good word. Yeah, I love you guys too. You guys are good friends, and I think we're gonna have a lot of good experiences, do some battle together. I think that would be good. I know it's crazy how when God calls you to, sometimes the hardest thing to be is vulnerable with somebody, but normally that's what God wants you. Well, that's what he requires of you.
Amen.
Yeah, I would just, I would encourage the listeners to stay on that note, you know, talk to the Father and listen. Take some time to really listen to God, and see who He's. There's always somebody in your life that you're able to touch that nobody else is able to touch, and you're able to speak to that nobody else will listen to. You know, you'll be the only one that they listen to. And so we, you know, so often we get wrapped up in our own worlds and our own plans and everything, and we just, it's good to just take a break and just spend time with each other and just say, hey, man, you know, I love you, and I think God's going to do good things in your life. Because the discouragement of life is so subtle, you know, at first Satan thinks that he convinces you that you're alone and that you're supposed to go through this, all these hardships and the hardships of life alone, and you're not supposed to reach out to anybody, especially for men, that somehow that's a weakness. You know, the only weakness that we've really seen tonight is just disobedience. You know, it takes a much stronger man to live in obedience, which is good. That's a promise of God, because like Dakota was saying out of 1 John, that with obedience comes reward. And that it's not wrong to expect reward from obedience. it's much more worthless to expect God to just bless you no matter what you do. Even though on the surface that might seem like, well, a more loving God would bless you even though you were struggling in some areas, and maybe that's true to some extent when you're an infant, you know, that doesn't understand. But an infant is not good for any amount of work or battle. If you really want to do exploits, then you have to be like David and just understand that the battle that we're in is a risk, and it's a heavy risk, and with great intimacy with God comes great responsibility, and not to take that lightly.
I agree with you 100%, and I would just add to you something else that I've been hearing from the Lord is that we need to shake away. I don't know if that's a good way or a description, but it's the way I can articulate it right now. We need to shake away from any of our own understanding that, and we need to get a grip with the fact that the true wisdom is going to come from the Holy Spirit. The true wisdom, godly wisdom, is going to come from the Lord, and that His ways are above our ways. And so if we can really grasp that, man, I really want to grasp what God has for me. And that means for driving on the road, as simple as the task of driving down the road, I want the wisdom to know when to pull out, when to stop, when to add extra distance to, not to oversimplify it, but that level of wisdom to the wisdom of business, also the wisdom of finding a future wife, the wisdom for godly business and what jobs to take and what jobs to pass. I mean, if you think about it, that is such a good thing to be praying for and for one another. And I'm just going to pray for it right now, for the listening audience and for my friend Eric and for my son Dakota. I just lift my brothers up to you, Lord, and anybody that's listening right now in the listening audience that would be of you, Lord, that's of yours, that you would want this blessing to be imparted to, Lord, that Lord, give us your wisdom through the Holy Spirit that we might know whether to go left or whether to go right, not in our wisdom. May our wisdom is just foolishness, just dissipate, Lord. And would you just impart through the Holy Spirit your wisdom into our life, that we might make good choices, that we might make speak things that are life and blessing. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Yeah, you know, what you were saying earlier about obedience, you know, it reminds me of some stuff that I learned from Michael Lake, the big main part of spiritual warfare is just obedience and getting back to the basics. You know, he talked about when he was in the army, there were some spec ops guys that he was friends with that told him, you know, when you're in combat and, you know, your life is on the line and, you know, you have to regroup and figure out what to do next, you always just go back to the basics. And it was so cool learning about the armor of God in Ephesians. I think it was in his book, The Shinar Directive, how he talked about the key component to the armor of God is holiness, because the armor of God can only be put on a believer where the character of Christ has been established in that area. It's not something that you can just name it and claim it and say, okay, I have the sword of the Spirit. Now I have the breastplate of righteousness. Now I have the helmet of salvation. It's something that these are things that you actually have to do and walk out in your life. And when you look at the entire context of the book of Ephesians, you have to study the armor of God from the perspective of the entire rest of the book, because the whole entire book of Ephesians, he's talking about holiness and righteousness, and how we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and all of these things. And so, without that, you can't understand the armor of God.
Yeah, it's true, man. We can get in a place where we're very complacent about, just doing the Christian thing on Sunday, and then we wonder why we're overpowered during the week when Satan attacks us. But we just got to walk in holiness.
Amen.
Yeah, there's I was looking on Facebook, and there's a guy there that I know and have worked with, and he just absolutely attacked out of left field my faith and my belief in the Bible. And I just want to say before God, man, I did respond to him, but I just want to say that if there's anything that I believe in is the written word of God. I base solely my existence here on earth as those being life-giving words of truth. And, I think it was Pastor Gill, and this is one thing I love about Pastor Gill, is that he said something to me that I think every person on earth needs to hear. And you have to reconcile it, of course, and it can be reconciled in a good or a bad way, but thank goodness I think I reconciled it in a good way, was that it doesn't matter what we think. And, when I heard that, I think anybody that hears that thinks, well, wait a second, it matters what I think. No, it really doesn't. The Word of God and what He says does not change or add or retract based off of what we believe or what we think. I mean, I shouldn't say believe, what we think. And so many people now in the world have created, and a lot of Christians, I'll go as far as to say that a lot of Christians have created their own Jesus, their own religion, their own understanding. And that's why it's so important now in these days ahead of us that we have faith in the written word of God, the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony are that of the scriptures, I believe. Anyways, it's a lamp unto our feet, and it's the only light, it's the only truth. And of course, the world and people and corporations and everything outside of the Lord Himself wants to come against that. And I think at a time, I'm 50 years old, I've never seen it. I've never seen what we're seeing today. Okay, so in my coming upbringing, I've never seen it. And so now we've got within the last 12 months, there's things, I'm telling you younger guys, that there's things that I just want you to know, this is not normal. The time we're living in is not the time of 12 months ago. And I'm sure somebody could say that through history, but I really believe what I'm saying is true, that this time that we're going into is going to be unlike any other time in history. And I guess the reason why, I say I love you to those that I know will pray with me and stand with me is because we're going to need each other. Yeah, of course we need the Lord, but we're going to need to be able to encourage and get together and pray for one another according to our needs. I say that for the listening audience, if you only have a friend with, Gina and Bob from the bar, or Mike or Larry from the garage, and you talk dirty jokes and this, it's time, seek the Lord and find somebody that you can pray with, somebody that loves the Lord, because you will become who you hang out with. We've all heard that before, but this time we're in, you can't afford to become someone outside of the Lord. So, you
if you wait until a tragedy or a situation in your life where you're up against the wall or in a corner, it's the wrong time to go out and try to. You got to build friendships in the Lord ahead of time, and that's my advice for the listening audience tonight. Get a friend like we got with Eric here that will take time out of his day. He's like us. He's got 100 other things he could be doing right now, but he take time out of the day to call in and encourage us. You know, stand with us, pray with us. Find a friend like that, because the Lord says he'll never leave you or forsake you. He will bring you to that person or persons. But trust me, you don't want to go into what I'm seeing coming alone. You just don't, you know. And I hope I'm saying that in an encouraging way, because it's not about us, and it's not about an individual person so much as it is the Lord himself will never leave you or forsake you. And God's got the best. I've heard our pastor say this too. God's got the best people. His saints are the best people on earth.
That's true. Yep. Amen to that. Yep. Amen. And they're the best because they're running on the best.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, they're the best because you know, we have the Spirit of God inside of us. It's because he makes us good. It's not because we're good of ourselves.
That's right.
Yep.
Amen. I just wanted to read something here really quick. It's just a few verses. When Jesus was after the miracle of the five loaves and two fishes, when he fed the 5,000, there was a whole bunch of disciples that left him after that. And it says here, but there are some of you that believe not, John 6:64, and who should betray him? And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So I was just thinking about that, just how, you know, those that don't want to follow God or those that fall away and forsake their faith, you know, just how ridiculous is that to walk away from Jesus when he's the only way to heaven? I mean, there's nothing else in this world that's important besides him.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Yep.
Was there anything else on your mind, Eric? I'd like to hear from you if you got any other thoughts or things that for the listening audience. You know, we always want to kind of warn you of things that we see, events that we see that are upcoming. But most importantly, we want to give the listening audience, and this audience is kind of diverse. We're able to look and see where the listening audience is. I mean, we got listeners in Sydney, Australia, Russia. I mean, it's all over the globe. So if you could kind of think in that global term of who we're reaching, just give a word of encouragement, what you have.
To your listeners overseas, man, I would just I would want to just kind of give an apology to as an American, go easy on us for what our country has done in the past. As we talked about earlier, between the Bush and Obama administrations, especially if you're a believer, be praying for us and be encouraged that the kingdom of God is closer now than it ever was before. And I think that there's just like any time of a minor tribulation, there's going to be a refinement that takes place between those that are with God and those that aren't. And I think that the Spirit of God is going to pour out more heavily on His people, on His believers. God will never leave His people shorthanded. And so when it feels like Satan's in control, know that one, he's not, that he's already been defeated because of the cross of Christ. And two, just be brave, be bold, because you don't really know what someone else is thinking until you're bold for the gospel. Many people carry the facade of wanting, not wanting to talk about religious things, but inside they're hurting and they do need Jesus. They need an answer. They don't know what that answer is. But if you take the time to pay attention and really, really look at people, and be bold and tell the truth and speak your mind and speak the words that God gives you, you'll find that the world is not as big and scary as it looks. And that Satan is not in control, even though he would do everything to convince you otherwise. And that the words that you speak towards your friends and your family and the people around you, that they really do carry weight. They really do matter. And I would just want to encourage you that God's going to be with you, especially if you are in prayer and seeking His face. He's going to give you the words to say to those people, to bring them closer to Him. So, yeah, that's about it. That's about what I've got. And that, it's so cool to see God work beyond borders.
Amen, man. That's what I love about having somebody new on the show. I mean, those words are ordained from God Himself. I that just resonates with my soul that the listening audience would know that you have brothers and sisters out here all around the world. And we stand with you, not against you. And I believe that the Lord is also using, allowing technology to not just be for the devil, for sure. And we can use this technology to reach out to our brothers and sisters around the globe. And man, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. But and I just want to mention too that there is the possibility to call into the show. You see a number there, you can call and join in. And if you, I'll tell you what, if you need prayer, we're pretty committed to pray. So if somebody calls in and wants prayer, we'll drop whatever we're doing or talking about to pray with you. And that's just the way that the Lord would want it. So be encouraged. The enemy does work on our fears and that's just not of the Lord. And he works on doubts and, things that we just absolutely have no control of. And when we give that all over to the Lord, he just really doesn't have any power over our life, including death itself. Amen. So be encouraged out there. And I'm just going to say one more quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray that every listening ear out there around the globe that is reached by this message, whether it be tonight or 2 years from now, if you are looking through archives and you come across this, Jesus died a painful, horrible death on the cross, and he took on your sins. If you'll confess your sins, there's a remission of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's just a perfect way that our Father God, before the beginning of time, knew that he could reconcile us back to himself after the fall that took place in the garden. And your life can change. I ran into my car the other day in a driveway. I don't know if I told Eric this or not, but it just didn't really bother me like it would have 5 years ago. So I've been reflecting on that, and I'm so thankful that material things, even things that, and I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed, but
But I didn't, you know, this old passes away, and henceforth there's a new, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But it all goes back to that new heart that God gives us. And the more we'll seek him in prayer and repentance, that he will spend some time writing on that heart of flesh. And I got news for you. I was listening to this gal today at a little church thing we go to at night, and she was saying how her birthday is coming up, and she just wants to go out and drink. She just wants to go out and have that old time, that old party. And I said, I told her, I said, it's impossible. You can't do it. You'll extract. I mean, you can go. Don't get me wrong. You can go. It gives you free will. But you will not have any fun at all. Our pleasure is when the Lord is supping with us, where he's talking with us, and we just feel his presence as we're driving down the road, or as we're talking to a friend and he's telling us how good the Lord's been to him, or, you know, just the encouragements that we hear. We ran into a guy the other day, a year ago, was seeking a job, and we prayed with him, and not saying that it has anything to do with us, but he's got the perfect job now, and he gives God the glory for it. So we have to be engaged, and, you know, it can be dirty business dealing with the world out there. So move in the direction that God sends you, because, you know, if he's telling you to go talk to somebody, or he's telling you to work with somebody, he's gonna get you through it. And that's all I've got. I'm going to sign off so that you two can finish, because, you know me, I have a hard time shutting up. So God bless you all. I love you all.
Amen.
Yeah, amen, man. Cody, you got anything you want to add?
No, I can't. Well, yeah, there's one more thing. The last verse that I read, I wanted to say I didn't explain the context of that. The reason that some of the disciples got offended and left Jesus is because, well, first of all, you had the 12 disciples, but the Bible says there were 70 others. And so these were the 70 others that that were some of those that left him. But this was right after Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. And so I was just thinking about that, how you told me about your perspective on that verse.
Yeah.
So. Are you busy, Eric? Hello?
Sorry, Dakota, I missed that last thing you said.
Oh, I was just saying, you told me your perspective one time on when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life.
Yeah. That was it's a theory. You know, being that the Jewish people would have known the stories of the Nephilim and cannibalism and how it originated in Cana as a worship to Baal, and that's where the root word comes from, and that, because of that, it would have made Jesus sound like a one of their not-so-nice neighbors, the Canaanites, when he said that. They might have mistaken that teaching with that practice, and that's why many of them left. Which is that's a huge subject, because you know, they're making a decision about Jesus based on their based on the cultural beliefs that they had during the time, versus mm-hmm. versus their own knowledge of the Messiah, you know, and what he would have, the prophecies that he would have fulfilled, you know, like being born of a virgin and whatnot. You know, they would have been, it would have been a decision point for them where they had to choose, okay, this guy is talking like something that we've been fighting against our whole life, but are we going to put our faith in, you know, in him, or are we going to put our faith in our traditions? So I don't know. It's a huge study, but it's something to chew on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you definitely could be right about that. I mean, you'd have to do more study to be able to prove it. But I think that's definitely a good theory. And it would add a lot. It would explain why they were offended, for sure. So, yeah, we're pretty much out of time here for tonight's show. So I'm going to close it out here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. All right. Yep, I'll sign off. I will catch you guys next time.
All right. Awesome. Well, folks, that's it for tonight's show. Hope you all enjoyed it. Until next time, I'll see you later next Sunday night.
We got it. Time,
we got it. Go, guys.
What?
Stop.
What right. happened, Dave?
Sorry.
You've been doing good.
We're good.
Sam.
Dave, you serious, please. I'm there. I'm serious.
Sam,
you're not serious. Hey, guys, we're recording. Hey,
please,
we're recording.
Get this song, okay?
Eyes filled with tears, his mind filled with memories of not so long ago, when the church house was full, not one pew was empty, the altar was stained with saints' tears. As he stands there this morning and sounds out the warning, you must pay the cost.
Hey, Dakota, do you want the dog?
And the highway to heaven still goes by the cross. Some of his members thought he was old fashioned, unwilling to change with the time. So they found other churches, more modern day preachers, who were willing to let things go by. But the old preacher stood for what he believed in and what he had preached 40 years. As he stands there this morning in a near empty church house, his opening remarks are these words: there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. As you please, but you must pay the cost, and the highway to heaven
the cross. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. And the highway to heaven still goes by the cross.